For all you elk hunters out there, chasing turkeys is basically the same thing. I know the reaction you just gave me, but don't knock it till you try it, and don't try it without OnX. The Hunt app will not only help you find new areas on public ground, but I use it to find out landowner info to get permission on private ground that I see birds on as well. OnX Hunt has a special offer for you. Use code CAL to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt and find more birds this spring.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase.
Hey, I just sat down with the owners and operators of Maui Nui Venison. They're on a mission to balance axis deer populations on Maui while giving back to the community and run a totally sustainable operation. For folks like me who want to get your own meat but aren't always successful, you can become a snack subscriber, get some axis deer sticks sent right to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNui. venison.com and use promo code CAL for 20% off your first order.
From Meteor's World News Headquarters in Bozeman, Montana, this is CAL's Week in Review presented by Steel. Steel products are available only at authorized dealers. For more, go to steeldealers.com. Now, here's your host, Ryan Cal Callahan.
Recently in Aspen, Colorado, a black bear wandered into the St. Regis Aspen Resort, where rooms are currently being booked at an average of $1,263 a night. The black bear knocked down and scratched a security guard in the kitchen of the hotel. Reports from the concierge says people are livid. Part of the pricing is due to the exclusivity of the resort. How dare they let that bear in?
What could be more important than a little something to eat? Or perhaps a little large or something?
This week, we've got a special interview with a new series that I'm doing that may or may not coincide with some personal hunting trips, but nevertheless will be good information for you. We're doing a series on conservation groups. What you need to know, why you want to be involved, little mini exposés so you can figure out what group you want to be involved with or groups you want to be involved with. I myself am a member of a bunch of different conservation groups. So yeah, this week, talking with Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Armed Forces Initiative. I just spent a week down the Idaho desert with these fellas, courtesy of a special project involving the famous Elk Camino, Ed Anderson invention that is meant to be a vehicle, no pun intended, for getting veterans in the outdoors. Very cool project. Great group of guys. Have a listen. Let me know what you think at askcal at themeateater.com, as well as what group you want to hear from next. All right, another special edition of Cal's Week in Review. I'm sitting down with BHA's Armed Forces Initiative, led by Trevor Hubbs. And Trevor, what is BHAAFI?
Yeah, so Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Armed Forces Initiative is the BHA program focused on active duty military, veterans, reserves, National Guard, and Gold Star families to help get them out into the backcountry parts of the United States and Canada and teach them how to recreate.
And what is a veterans organization? Is that how you'd characterize it?
Generally, yes. Just because it's easier for folks to understand that it's veterans, but technically we are all encompassing, including active duty, reserves, National Guards. But if everybody gets lumped in together, veterans, the easiest way to say it.
Great. So there's tons of veterans organizations out there. What's the thing that differentiates AFI from all the other ones?
I think there's a lot that that differentiates us, but the main thing that we do different is we are not focused on once-in-a-lifetime experiences. We're not focused on, let's go get this 60-inch bull moose in Alaska or this 200-inch whitetail in Illinois. It's, can we teach our participants how to go and find those things, right? Like, if we take them out into, let's say it's a whitetail hunting event, how do I teach them how to read sign, where they're going to put their stand up, why they're putting their stand there, a little bit of biology, ecology around whitetails that will help them go secure a whitetail for themselves without depending on any other group to take them or anybody else to take them, making them more independent in the outdoors.
Awesome. So yeah, there's a little bit of it's replicable.
Yeah, exactly.
Folks who show up for an event or get involved don't need to rely on that on AFI to go do that thing.
Exactly. What we're trying to avoid is, man, I never want any of our participants to say, man, yeah, I went hunting a few years ago with this nonprofit and it was a great time. I want them to say, yeah, I went hunting last week or I went fishing last week and it was a blast because we've taught them something that they can do the next weekend or the next season. And we've given them another group of similar-minded individuals to go out with in the military community local to them.
So in addition to the skills, what else is going on at AFI? Like what is somebody who's new to AFI, like how do they start out? Like what's the 1, 2, 3?
Sure. So step one would be you're on the BHA website or you're on Instagram and you see a post from us where we post all of our events for the year. In 2023, we have 146 events scheduled to occur. So step one is find an event that is either local to you or that you would like to attend and apply. It's a real simple application process, name, military status, where you live, that kind of thing, why you're interested in attending. We roughly get about 50 applicants per event. Normally we could take between 5 and 15 depending on the activity that we're trying to accomplish at the event. Step two is you get invited to the event. So that should occur 8 to 12 weeks prior to the event. So, all right. So if it is a July fly fishing event, you know about it in May or even late April. You're going to have multiple Zoom style calls. Sometimes they're on Teams, sometimes they're on Zoom, with the event leader, someone like Sean McCarthy, if you're in Washington, who's going to walk you through, this is the packing list I want you to bring. What do you have? What don't you have? And then we know what we as the program can provide them. If you show up in jeans and a t-shirt, that's fine. We can get you the rest of the stuff. We just need to know long enough ahead with your sizes and all that stuff. So you'll be fine. And then step three, show up to the event, have a great time. And that's about it.
And so is that what folks can expect coming into AFI is a great time?
I mean, they're all a great time for me. It's a lot of type two fun. Like what did we do yesterday, 28 miles on the prairie, walking through cactus and sage. And at the time, you're thinking about the bottoms of your feet and how sore you are. But afterwards, you're thinking about, man, that was a cool herd of antelope. Some cool birds we saw, the great dog work. I mean, you are going to go out there and work. We don't do these catered events. There's nobody with a platter of whiskey and cigars when you're done hunting. There's a guy with a grill that is cooking cheeseburgers or tacos or whatever we're having that night for dinner. Like, we'll take care of you. All the food, water, drinks you need is all set, but there's no special treatment here.
So that's like the event side of things. Where do folks go from there?
It's a great question.
Well,
yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Yeah. I've actually got a success story in Washington from one of our events. We've had some guys recycle through with different volunteer events. Next thing you know, they pick up on some of the lessons that we passed out during the course of a camp or a 101 style of event. And then they tap in and ask a couple of questions, just kind of refine.
What do you mean lessons?
I would be lying not to tell you that we do a little storytelling, but a lot of it's storytelling hinged with in the field, actual hands-on, boots on ground, training these attendees on what they're looking for or what they're looking at or how to access certain pieces of land, the difference between DNR, BLM, National Forest, permitting required to certain areas and certain trailheads. And then furthermore, you know, let's say, for example, this specific individual, he was cutting his teeth on Northwest blacktail hunting. And he, although he didn't necessarily come to a blacktail specific camp, we gave a backcountry 101 scouting class in which we had about 50, 60 attendees on a Zoom class. And we talked all those things that I just mentioned. And then we went specific into different species, whether it be black bear, Roosevelt elk, or high buck mule deer. And even touched a little bit on the blacktail, since it's such a hot, popular thing to do in Western Washington. And he managed to pick up enough of that, all those tidbits on that. And then we vetted through on folks that were able to make the part two of that event a few weeks after that, which was an actual in the field. We took the first go around, half a dozen attendees into the backcountry of Norse Peak Wilderness near Mount Rainier National Park. And they got to see firsthand all the things that we talked about in a controlled classroom setting, some of the storytelling at camp the night before, and then they could actually see it. It was a tangible thing in front of them. And they were able to take some notes and ask questions. We had a couple of really, really good, solid mentors that came in to help us out. And then that individual went off, tweaked on the skills that he had learned, the knowledge that he had gained. And the biggest reward for us, and I, you know, I'm sure I'm speaking for a lot of fellow liaisons out there, is about 2 months later, we got a text message that here he is with his first blacktail buck, first buck ever, you know, and he attributed a lot of that success to some of the things that we taught him. And here he is now an active member within AFI, and he's actually one of our active duty guys and volunteering and looking to continue to grow his skill sets.
And, very cool.
Yeah.
And how did you get involved with AFI, Sean?
So I have been a member with BHA for probably about 7 years. It appealed to me just because of public land, you know, and I moved around a lot in the military. I've lived in three of the four corners of this country and just needed a public place to hunt. And when I moved back out west after living in New England and getting into these expansive places that we were lucky enough to have out here, I could see where the protections kind of needed to be made and whatnot real quickly. And I just gravitated to it. And so as time went on, I retired from the service about 5.5 years ago.
What branch were you in?
I did 24 years in the Navy. I was a submarine torpedoman, which kind of saw me here, there, and everywhere. Not a lot of hunting and fishing in a submarine, I'll tell you that. But it did finally find me back in the Great Northwest. And having left the military, I had a lot more time on my hands. I started to get out and hunt and fish a lot more because I wasn't deploying. I wasn't going to sea, not going on travel. And started to learn a lot, refine the skills that I'd had over probably 2 decades. You know, even though I did 24, only about 20 of it I was able to get outside when I could, you know, over that span. And I saw a turkey hunting 101 class that the Armed Forces Initiative was putting on in Washington with the National Wild Turkey Foundation. The president for NWTF in Washington is also a Navy vet. And I said, huh, that's kind of like-minded. I'm a pretty good turkey hunter, but I could always, you know, buff and polish some skills, maybe get a tidbit of information. Who knows, maybe meet somebody that's hunting the same area, you know, a little networking. And the presentation that NWTF was great. And then the AFI presentation, it was spot on. You know, it was marrying that public land advocacy and importance with kind of that service above self that a lot of us see in practice throughout the military. And I'm seeing two things that I cared for deeply, you know, just the military in general and then the outdoors. And I said, well, this is perfect. And I've got time. I've got time. My kids were getting a little bit older. We had a little bit more time around the home, saw me at home a lot more. And I said, you know, how do I get involved with this? And so I started emailing and got in touch with Trevor. I got in touch with Ryan and whatnot from BHA. And next thing you know, I said, well, how can I help? Where do you need me? And a little bit of Q&A, figuring out who I was, my background. And next thing you know, I'm the liaison for the state of Washington, you know, for AFI and bridging that gap between our military community as well as the state chapter of BHA, and seeing how we can mutually benefit from each other. And in turn, you know, we're taking these military folks and turning them into conservationists, which is a pretty awesome thing when you get an individual from a place like Oklahoma or Kansas that comes up to the Northwest. And next thing you know, now he or she is in love with that. And that's a huge thing to do.
And Dan, that it sounds like from our talking earlier, that's kind of how you're dipping your toe into the AFI side of things. Absolutely. Now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This event here is what kicked me in the butt to finally get the membership done. And I've actually known Sean for a lot of years now. We served together in the Navy, and I've been looking for an organization to get involved with. And I've done some work with some other veterans groups here and there, but I really wanted to find where I belong to, I guess, make the most benefit in what organization was actually doing things for veterans in the bigger picture of BHA, what they're doing for public land access, conservation, so that, like, I'm looking at my family. I got two boys and a wife that hunt, and I want to see opportunity for them down the road. And so the fact that BHA has the AFI side, I get to do both. And like I said, I'm just getting started, but I definitely see a big future for myself getting involved. Sean's on the west side of Washington. I'm on the east side, which some people might know is almost like two different states. But I'm looking to get involved and get some stuff going on that side of the state.
And I was kind of making fun of you earlier because you're a submarine guy too, right?
Yes, sir.
Do you guys like Submariner? Or is it Submariner, or does anybody care at this point?
At this point, it's kind of water under the bridge, but we'll go with Submariner.
Okay.
You know, you'll hear some guys say Submariner, and so am I not a good mariner? So, yeah, Submariner.
I mean, always affectionate Bubblehead.
Yes, you can never go wrong with Bubblehead.
What is Bubblehead? Where does that come from?
Well, we're kind of breathing in a big steel bubble,
yep,
a few hundred feet below the surface.
Yep.
Oh. Right. Like the joke's like, it's no surprise as to why the outside means so much to Dan, because he spent 20 years in a submarine and now he works inside a dam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, it's like you're afraid of light.
Kind of. I mean, the dam, I can at least go up top and see the boats out fishing just to, you know, hurt my soul a little bit while I'm at work. But, but yeah, a lot of similarities.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. So yeah, what do we want to accomplish by working with AFI?
So, I moved to Eastern Washington about 3 years ago. I was a Western Washington guy, for like about 15 years, did my last like 12 years up in Bangor submarine base. And so I made a lot of connections over on that side. A lot of people, other active duty guys and veterans, got me out into the Northwest because I moved from Hawaii to the Northwest. So that was pretty big change right there. And I'd grown up in Nevada, so I had some experience with like some of these big mountains and stuff. But, you know, the Northwest is a completely different animal than the Southwest. And so those guys got me out, got me kicked and going. And now that I moved to, I made all those connections over there, and due to, you know, social media, it's really easy to keep track of people now. And I moved to the east side, and since moving there, I made a lot of other connections to some veterans organizations that are local, like to the Wenatchee area, and also to like people that have no involvement with veterans organizations but are involved in the outdoors, and they love to help out vets. And so you know, it's like that networking. Like, so I got all these guys that I was talking to Sean earlier. I'm like, I know all these people on the east side. I can make phone calls to maybe get some things going, find some places we can do stuff. And so I'm looking to bring that to the table.
And then, but, you know, we talked a lot about Washington politics, right? The Washington Game Commission. What are you hoping to get done by being a part of this organization on the advocacy front, we'd call it?
So one thing personally, like I have Trevor's phone number, and Trevor's a pretty smart guy that can probably point you in the direction, or point me in the direction of some like better information, better ways to communicate, better ways to maybe even listen to the political and like business aspect side of what's going on. Because like it was kind of a theme in our camp, several of us had the conversations like, just because you scream the loudest doesn't mean you get listened to. It's better to have that two-way conversation and learning, I guess, learning from these guys that have been kind of involved in BHA in general on how to listen and how to communicate to get the message to our representatives, and also maybe to guys that don't want to listen to stuff, be able to talk to them more on a one-on-one on like kind of our redneck level. And because that's what it's going to take to make effective change, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, not to hijack Dan here, but, you know, one of the big things for me with that is getting that military community in front of that commission and explaining to these commission members, you know, even if it's a letter, you know, a statement that this means something to me, this loss of this trail, this species, you know, that's doing well and I can't pursue it, or this landscape.
Well, you had the spring bear hunt, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Everybody was telling you're going to draw this year.
I was there. I had Wanaha in my sights, and I had the magic points to get it. And I was out of the Navy, and I had the vacation time, and that's no longer there. And it was a lot of miles, a lot of scouting back and forth, and helping other folks in that area. And I absolutely fell in love with the Blue Mountains down in the southeast part of the state. And they needed to hear that from me. You know, this is important to me. This is important. There's guys out there and gals out there that they go into these wild places, and this is kind of what they do. And if they don't have that, you know, that's kind of a loss of an important thing to a service member. And I think they needed to kind of hear that.
Now, a lot of you guys are familiar with the old hunting tradition of eating, you know, some organ, the heart or a chunk of liver off the first animal you kill. I had that when I was a little kid, and it was a big deal. Organ meats were always prized by frontier people who knew the importance of getting a lot of different minerals and nutrients. And as often is the case, those guys were onto something, because organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. And you can get the same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil, made exclusively from regeneratively raised, grass-fed, and finished cattle. Heart and Soil's unique freeze-drying process means all those important nutrients are trapped in, ensuring you experience every one of the benefits of nature's superfood in a clean, convenient, taste-free capsule. Find out more at heartandsoil.co and make sure to use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase. That's heartandsoil.co. Use the code MeatEater. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
For all you elk hunters out there, chasing turkeys is basically the same thing. I know the reaction you just gave me, but don't knock it till you try it, and don't try it without OnX. The Hunt app will not only help you find new areas on public ground, but I use it to find out landowner info to get permission on private ground that I see birds on as well. OnX Hunt has a special offer for you. Use code CAL to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt and find more birds this spring. From your guys' experience, what is the outdoors doing for veterans? We always hear of suicide rates, and obviously all these organizations exist more than likely for a reason. But from the folks sitting at this table, like what niche is that fulfilling? What is getting done?
Mm.
Like, dude, are you aware of folks who need help?
Yes.
And are these organizations helping?
100%. Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. So, for example, I got to see, or didn't get to see, but there was a text received by one of our camp leaders a while back. One of the attendees, you know, he showed up, he participated, very jovial, very positive attitude, positive mental focus. Was really active throughout the whole thing. I wasn't there. I didn't get to see that individual. Never even met this person, but I did get to read about that camp in the after action report that camp lead submitted, and it sounded like it was a great event. Well, he reached out after the fact and said, you know, this is what I needed. I was in a extremely dark place, and this was probably going to be one of the last times that I recreate in a place like this and to participate in something like this, a hunt. And that camp lead said, well, no, man, we literally just taught you how to do X. You know, you can, you know, whether it's a snow goose hunt or a sage grouse hunt like we just did, or a whitetail hunt down in North Carolina, or duck hunt up in New England. You know, we teach you how to do this. You know, you've got the tools and the skills now. And he says, no, I don't think you understand, you know. And he was in such a dark place and so lost that was going to be his last hunt. And all of us liaisons found out about that. And, I mean, it resonates with all of us. Me personally, the very first AFI camp that I went to, it was awesome. You know, it was a South Dakota pheasant hunt. I was lucky enough to get selected to go. I'd already done a couple of smaller events in Washington, and I really wanted to see how things were done and kind of learn how to run my own event up there and get the flavor. And there was an individual there, very similar case. And then after the fact, we found out that dude really needed that. You know, not as deep, dark as a place, but he needed that service connection again, because a lot of us leave the military and we leave the community that we were used to. We lose that identity. And a lot of folks have trouble with that. You know, when, you know, he's living in the middle of the country and he was stationed on the coast his entire time, you know, so.
Well, that's an interesting thing from like the civilian perspective, right? It's like, I feel like, BHA has always been like very welcoming of anybody, you know, it's the big tent perspective, right? Like if you want to be outside, you know, we're your crew.
Oh, absolutely.
You want to, you know, you want to learn how to cook, or you know how to cook and you can teach us something, that's great. All the things, the skills. And so it was a question of mine of like, well, this group is already so welcoming. Why is it a need to have something like military specific?
Mm.
And wouldn't it even be better if we got these veterans in here just mixing with this, you know, civilian population that has never been in the military? So what is the need for that continued military connection?
Mm. I think AFI plants that seed for growth into that veteran or active duty to get into the big tent with the civilian side of BHA. But what I think it is, it's a bird of a feather, you know. I speak Navy. I don't speak Army. Trevor and I have a hard time talking military. I'll be honest with you. I've learned a lot over the past year and a half, though. There's a common thread amongst the branches, and we're able to receive messages better from each other. You know, we tend to do a little bit of tough love, but we don't promote it in the camps. We tend to be a lot more direct, you know, and it's pretty well received there by our veteran community. And then we go, hey, by the way, you're good with this. Well, guess what? Here's your Arkansas state chapter. Here's your Colorado state chapter. And, you know, it takes off from there.
And that's the end goal, right? Like a perfect event is we take you out into the wild places of the United States or Canada, and we show you an amazing time engaging with that environment, whether it's hunting, fishing, trapping, whatever the case for that event. And the second part of that is you have such a good time that you can't help but get engaged with conservation, right? And I ideally want everybody to go be a BHA member, go engage with the local chapter, go see, wow, I really had a great time on the St. Croix River smallmouth fishing. How is the Wisconsin and Minnesota BHA chapters helping protect this watershed? And what can I do with my veteran voice to help in that fight? Right? Like that's the natural progression. And we've seen it pre-AFI in BHA. Two of BHA's founders were military members. Right, so we've seen this. In fact, at Rendezvous last year, we had a large fundraiser, fancy dinner. It's like $600 a plate or something. I think on the silent auction for that dinner, we raised $83,000, and $62,000 of that $83,000 came from members of this military community. So once you engage them, once you can teach our participants how they can use their voice to continue serving their country, like sky's the limit. They can become some of BHA's best volunteers, and I think we've shown that historically.
And is AFI doing that? Is there some built-in training to become an advocate or work on those communication skills that Dan was talking about?
Absolutely, there is. It's once we get you through your first event, what we're seeing is about 90% of folks come back, right? Because we have the after-action review, like Sean says, but there's no break in the communication. So once you attend an event, you're on a text chain, like very simply just a text group with all the people that attended that event. And having run so many events, I think I'm on 100 of these text chains now on my phone, but people are always talking, right? Like, so our Great Lakes group from the Boundary Waters trip 2 years ago are continuing, like, hey, did this legislation get passed? Great. What's the next step? How do we stop this next mining proposal? Right. And then they feed into their Minnesota chapter and really make that happen. Like, that's where we see this growth is BHA already has such developed programs for training people in how to become a conservationist, how to become a habitat steward or a policy advocate, right? That all AFI really needs to do is just help walk them through that BHA door, and all the tools are there. Does that make sense? That answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, the thing that I was getting at is, as we've talked about a bunch in the past, is like there's a lot of places people can go for a party.
Mm-hmm.
And is that what AFI is providing? Is just another party for the veterans. Right. And yeah, it's like, what is the thing that's going to carry this through? And that is developing those skills where you can be an effective advocate.
Yeah.
Right. For these resources. Making sure they're around for Dan's kids.
Sure.
Making sure that they're around for these guys that are getting out of, you know, 20-year careers where they really weren't afforded a whole lot of time to get out and do stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, that's all of our camps are dry camps just because we're here to do a job. We're here to focus. I don't want people sleeping in and missing part of the camp that so many volunteers worked for you to put on. And I don't want to put any pressure on people, especially with the trend of dependency in the military community. But this isn't let's go hang out in a wall tent and drink beers and maybe somebody shoots an elk. This is let me teach you how to go do this over and over again for the rest of your life. And by doing that, what ends up happening is we create a highly passionate, highly engaged cadre of AFI, BHA members that cannot help but go get involved. Like Sean was in, Sean, Justin, that entire Washington crew we have has just been, you've played them on your podcast before. Like they come out and you teach them, like you just give a guy a hammer and all of a sudden he's out trying to build a house. They're just so passionate. To
these guys
get after
are,
it.
They're killing it. You know, so, it was really heartwarming to see these guys. Next thing you know, they're interfacing with other state chapter members.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, I think one of them went on a fishing trip with one.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't talk about fishing up in Brewster, but my guy now can talk about fishing up in Brewster and why some of that access and the issues that the fish that go into there are so important. That's pretty heartwarming. That's a win.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the goal. So if you want a trip of a lifetime, if you want somebody to take you walleye fishing or salmon fishing or whatever, we're probably not the group for you. If you want to learn how to go develop these skills and then ideally be able to get to a point where you can teach those skills to others and just be involved in the conservation conversation, right? Like whether that passion lies in policy, like we're seeing in Washington, or whether like Colorado, where they put 120 Army combat engineers on a fence pole project because that's one guy came and he's like, hey, I serve in a company of active duty combat engineers. We can get this done a lot faster. Let's go do this. Right. So they're engaged in stewardship and habitat improvement. And then you have folks like North Carolina, where our goal down there, not our goal, but the participants down there, they're whole into, wow, this deer hunting, turkey hunting made such an impact on me. How do I share this with more members of the military community? So they're very R3 focused. And I don't necessarily care which one you focus on. I just want you as a veteran, you as a member of this military community to feel empowered, like you have the tools, the capability, and the training to go continue to serve your country. Because that's what I think we all need internally. That's what my need is. Like, that's why I'm here is something bigger.
I agree. You know, you do 4 years, you do 24 years, you have a sense of service about you that's just, you know, it's just part of who you are. It's beat into you by military service. And you get out, some folks get lost with it. You know, and I think this is an excellent opportunity for engagement of those folks and in some ways help transition into civilian life and be better than productive members of civilian life.
It's a reconnection from the disconnection.
Ooh, that's a good way to put it.
Because Sean was alluding to, a lot of guys, the time of service, the job identifies them and or you know, I say guys, but guys and gals. And when they leave, some people have a really hard time finding the new identity. And this is a good way to kind of mix both and find your happy place after that 4 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it is.
And Dan, you said that you'd gotten in touch with some other veterans groups, some sort, when you first got back to Washington.
Not when I first gotten, it's more towards, my retirement time in Washington when I started kind of like, hey, I'm actually gonna have time to maybe go out and do some stuff. And cause like for me, it was like work and then family's really outdoorsy and then trying to get like given back time. So
you're kind of like trying to network with some of these groups to, just kind of find some more recreational opportunities a little bit.
Not for myself. It was, when I initially got to Washington, it was just learning the area.
Mm-hmm.
There were no outdoor veteran groups back in like 2006 if they were there, I don't even know about them. You know, it was really before like social media or anything like that. So it was all just like, literally I was in the smoke pit with a guy on Friday and he's like, hey, I'm going to go deer hunting tonight. And I'm like, man, I'd love to go deer hunting. I haven't done that in like 12 years. And he's like, well, you want to go? And that was like my first Washington hunting trip. And that later that night, we're in a minivan going up by Mount Rainier in the dark, almost hitting elk and freezing our butts off in tents. And that's when I'm like, wow, I have no gear that's for Washington. But it was epic because that guy took me out and he was another active duty guy. So the veterans organizations now out there are connecting us in like an organized manner, which military guys, we like organization. Right. And, so it's a lot easier to find something and for, I guess, groups to find you too nowadays than it used to be. So I hope that answers what you're asking there.
No, yeah, that's good. I think, you know, this topic's not a new one. We talk about it pretty consistently, and certainly lots of other people do too. And I think that there's still a lot of people out there looking for their community.
Yeah.
And so the more we can talk about how you guys found a community, there's going to be some touch points out there for other people that go, oh
yeah,
yeah, I can see reaching out because of that, even though I don't need to for all these other reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'd love a new hunting spot, you know?
And it's like a lot of things, like I guess like we talk and focus kind of like young guys, or guys just retiring and stuff. But I've taken guys fishing on my boat that were like Vietnam vets that they just got involved with somebody and they were so happy to like be with another serviceman, even though like they're old enough to be my grandpa, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a big opportunity to touch a lot of people in the right way.
But it's, and the folks that do this professionally, VA professionals, psychiatrists, they've been trying to describe the bond that that soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine get for, you know, hundreds of years since warfare has existed, because it's always something super strange to people, because it's not, we call it brotherhood, but it's not the same. Like, it's, I don't treat my brother the same way that I treat you guys, and we didn't even serve together.
Correct.
Right, but it's some, like, weird mix between, like, closer than a brother, but not quite a wife, like, at some part. I call it, I think trauma bond is the is the new zeitgeist word or whatever, the catchy phrase. But yeah, it's the best way that I can put it is, when I was in the Army, there was a guy in our unit, and everybody in the unit was this way, but this exact example, he had pneumonia, so he missed a training ruck march. Totally allowed to miss a march, man. Like, medic said, you're sick, you're sick. Every night in the barracks, while sick, he put his ruck on and walked around the barracks building, because he was confined to barracks, until he made up all 12 miles of that march, because he didn't want anybody else in that unit to think he was lacking, because he didn't want to be the one, the weak link in the chain. And I know when I look at you guys, you have that same inside piece to you, like all the AFI members do. And it's, you walk into an AFI event and you can immediately feel like you can trust that guy.
Yeah.
He can trust you, 100%. She can trust you, whatever. It's,
there's a silent bond very quick after that initial conversation.
It's interesting.
It is. It is. It really is.
So, yeah, best way to get involved?
Well, for the state of Washington, we got one heck of a social media presence going. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. Feel free to email me, waafi@backcountryhunters.org. We look at the website, go to the BHA website, and you can find the Armed Forces Initiative there. And there's points of contact right there.
Yeah.
You know,
just Armed Forces Initiative, all spelled out, at backcountryhunters.org. Every one of our emails gets answered. I'm in the field about 200 days a year, so it doesn't get answered fast, but I promise you it will get answered. We just brought on an administrative assistant, so things are speeding up, but please reach out. Reach out if you're interested. Reach out if you know somebody who's interested. Worst case, reach out if you can help us. We're always looking for mentors, 100%. Photographers, cooks. Like, even if you don't want to hunt at all, but you're like, man, I don't mind slinging some burgers for some guys, we'd love to help.
And speaking of help, if there is one branch of the military that would need help spelling initiative, if they were to write in, what would it be?
Ooh. I'll let Trevor go first.
that would be the Marine Corps.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not great at spelling either, but Army Infantry, Marine Corps Infantry, we're cut from the same cloth. The we did have Cal saw it at a BHA event. We had these flyers printed out, and Garrett, who was one of our members of our board, Marine Corps, highly educated guy, misspelled conservation in about size 72 font on the front page of the trifold. And the problem, it's not on him, because he sent it to me. He sent it to a couple other members of the board, like some officers, some senior NCOs that are like, they'll catch it. But in our minds, we're like, yeah, Garrett used to work at the Pentagon. Of course he's going to nail this. Like, I don't need to review this. So we all messed it up. But The letters are in the wrong order, but the message is the same.
Man, he's really driving home the Marines on that one.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I was only asking because I listened to you guys give each other crap all week.
So that's how it goes.
Yeah.
If we're not giving each other crap, that's when you need to be scared.
Yeah. Right. I got to disagree with Trevor. Marines are Department of the Navy, and we're pretty darn smart, so it's the Army. They need the most help. Mm-hmm. That's why there's only four letters in their name.
That's fair.
And then, I guess just to wrap up the thing, like, so even if you're not a member of BHA or BHA-AFI, would it be appropriate for folks to just write in, ask questions, or even if they had something going on that they wanted folks to tackle, i.e. like, an issue, an access issue, a legislative issue, something like that. Still cool to write in and chat you guys up.
Oh, absolutely. That's what we're here for.
Agreed. Yes, 100%. That just makes all of it better.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's all I've got for you this week. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to write in to ASKCAL. That's askcal@themeateater.com. And remember, get yourself a clean, quiet steel chainsaw. That'll save your butt at least once a year. And then, you can help clean up the yard and do things that make you look good around the house, too. And you'll look like a pro because it says steel. Type into the Google machine www.steeldealers.com. Find a local knowledgeable steel dealer near you. They're going to get you set up with what you need. They won't try to send you home with what you don't. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you next week.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase.
Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. That's SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.